Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. This is the third part of a six-part series on narcissistic personality disorder. In today's show, which is episode 3, I'll be talking about the narcissistic family portrait and the unfair roles assigned to children. And I'll also be talking about what it feels like to be a child living in a narcissistic personality disorder home. In part one of the series, I gave an overview of what narcissistic personality disorder is, and I explained the traits and characteristics of someone who has it. In part two, I discussed the many facets of narcissistic personality disorder and explained the dynamics of parent-child abuse. The home life of a child living with a narcissistic parent is one of smoke and mirrors. The mind games the parent plays with their children causes a lifetime of damage. They essentially build their children's minds with defective parts that impair their ability to adjust to life. That is a very difficult thing to correct. One might believe that physical abuse is far worse than emotional abuse, but that is not true. Physical abuse is horrific, but it is easier to reckon with than emotional abuse because it is more intellectually concrete. Inner wounds do not heal the same way outer wounds do. Inner wounds are constantly reopened and re-exposed by day-to-day triggers. And we often don't even know we have them. We know that something doesn't feel right emotionally, but we don't know what's causing us to feel that way. Children of a narcissistic parent can never redeem themselves or prove to the parent that they are innocent of the projections, accusations, and charges constantly laid on them because the parent is never accountable. This makes the child feel frustrated and crazy. The other thing that makes these children crazy is that the abuse is invisible to everyone outside of the family. The narcissist has two faces. They wear one in public, and they wear a different one at home. So we suffer in silence because the rest of the world thinks our parent is a saint. They cannot even begin to imagine our parent as the monster they really are. From the outside looking in, the narcissistic family appears to be like any other normal family. This is not an accident. It is purposefully set up by the narcissistic parent to look that way, so no one will know what really goes on behind the dysfunctional closed doors. and what is going on behind those doors is child abuse. To the outside world, my family looked like the picture-perfect happy family, like we had stepped right out of a Norman Rockwell painting. On Sundays, when friends or family visited our home, we would entertain them, gathering around the piano and singing old songs and show tunes. No one had a clue about the chaos and hostility that my mother generated and we were subjected to before company came and after they left. Narcissistic parents are cold, cruel, and distant until company comes over. Then they put their perfect family on display, and everyone in it is expected to perform to the parents' standards. Image is everything to the narcissistic family, an idealized, perfect image. My sisters and I were immaculately dressed and perfectly posed from tallest to shortest with our feet pointing in the same direction in most every picture my father took of us. And Mom always made sure our shoes were clean and polished. And she still brags about it to this day. No one is allowed to know about the narcissistic personality disorder's family problems or the dysfunctional dynamics of its relationships. It is reinforced to the children that they are not to share the secrets and to always pretend that everything is fine. The children are brainwashed into believing that the family functions in a healthy, normal way and that there is nothing unusual about the behavior of the NPD parent. Narcissistic parents will insist that nothing is wrong with the family and that the children show that perfect face to the world, even if it means sacrificing their own feelings and sense of well-being in the process. It is constantly reinforced to the children not to do anything that may potentially make the family look bad. What will people think is the mantra of the narcissistic parent. No matter what my sisters and I did with our lives outside the home and whatever decisions we made, we were never to forget that Mom was the center of our world and pleasing her was of the utmost importance. Mom expected that devotion, though she never would admit it. And since Dad worshipped the ground she walked on, he saw things no other way. The entire family revolves around the narcissistic parent and their needs, whims, and desires. Children are never to question the parent or express their feelings. Children are not permitted to have their own feelings or needs, though they see nothing unusual about that. They know no other way for a family to function or no other way to feel. The narcissistic family history is comprised of part truth and part fiction. It is repeated over and over until it takes on a life of its own. That is all the history the children know and believe to be true. My mother repeatedly and boastfully told us that we came from what she called, quote-unquote, good stock. What she meant was that we were not genetically predisposed to any ailments or diseases. That turned out to be a bold-faced lie, though we didn't realize that until we got older. My family was genetically predisposed to diabetes, heart disease, a variety of mental disorders, and rheumatoid arthritis. Cancer even showed up a few times in our relatives, too. There are few, if any, boundaries, physical or emotional, in the narcissistic family. The parents believe they own the rights to their children's lives. They believe they have an all-access pass to everything their children think and do. My parents hated closed bedroom doors. They resented the feeling of being shut out. My parents viewed that as an insult. They wanted full access all the time. We could never create a barrier to escape from the madness without the risk of angering our parents even more, having Dad impetuously remove the doorknob from our bedroom door. The only way a marriage with one narcissistic partner can stay intact is if the other partner revolves their entire world around them. The partnership is not one of equality. One is the ruler. The other is the groveling servant. Close or intimate relationships only work for the narcissist when he is constantly indulged and stroked. As long as the enabling partner adores his narcissistic partner and keeps her up on a pedestal, the dynamics of the companionship are usually non-eventful. But when the enabling partner fails to provide what is expected of him, no matter how slight the offense, he will be the target of her rage and devaluation. Because the enabling partner fears this happening, he is very careful not to make any mistakes. To the children, their relationship looks like love, but it isn't. That is just an illusion, as so many other things they experience in the family are. The parents' relationship is so dysfunctional, so entangled, entwined, and all-consuming that they have little room left for the children. My sisters and I always knew that if our family of five was in a boat and it started to sink, our father would definitely save our mother first before the children, and she would expect him to. The enabling partner worships the ground their NPD spouse walks on and expects his children to do the same. I can think of no better example to give of this one than this one. On more than one occasion over the years, my father has wished me or one of my sisters a happy birthday and then urged, "Thank mother for giving birth to you." The inflection in his voice always indicated that he thought it would be rude not to give her credit and not to focus on her. He completely disregarded the fact that our birthday was the only day of the year that actually belonged to us and made us special, not mom. Any mother can give birth. The enabling parent always tells their children how wonderful their NPD parent is. That is very confusing to the children because that is not what they see. It was terribly confusing in my family because what my sisters and I saw with our eyes and felt in our guts never correlated with what our parents constantly led us to believe. The narcissistic parent often uses the enabling partner to facilitate the children's punishments, and the enabling spouse does it without question. He will do anything to keep the peace with his partner, even if it means sacrificing the well-being of his children. This is tragic for the children. Their needs are left unmet, and they have no one to advocate for them. Nothing is off limits for the narcissistic parent and their enabling partner when it comes to their children. The children's feelings are unimportant. There is no respect shown to them, and their privacy is little to non-existent. The parents can and will interfere in their children's lives whenever they want to, no matter how old the children get. Narcissistic parents do not want their children to have a close relationship, so they cunningly and manipulatively drive siblings apart. They enjoy creating envy between their children, so they pit siblings against each other by gossiping about one to the other, by making comparisons about one to the other, and by showing favoritism. These parents control the flow of information so they can wreak havoc and make sure to never get caught. Since the resources of attention and favor from the narcissistic parent are limited, the siblings are hungry and competitive for any morsel they can get. These siblings must sacrifice their relationship with each other to compete for their parents' love. Love that sadly doesn't even exist. Love that can be switched on and off at the parents' whim. Narcissistic parents assign roles to their children that they are expected to uphold. The three roles assigned are golden child, scapegoat, and lost child. Only one child in the family is given the role of the golden child. They are the chosen one. The golden child is seen as a god or goddess. They can do no wrong. That is because they are seen as an extension of the narcissistic parent. They represent the parent's perfect image of himself. Often these golden children are beautiful to look at or have very charming personalities. Whatever qualities this child has that the parent admires are exploited in an effort to make the narcissistic parent look better. The parent may try to engulf this child and enmesh with him. The child is owned like a possession. They are treated special as long as they do what the parent wants. If they don't, they get thrown in a pile of useless trash, just like everyone else who doesn't serve their needs. This child often grows up without healthy boundaries and with a poor self-identity. I was the golden child in my family. My mother idolized me and would give me the world on a silver platter when I played that role. She'd trample anyone who got in her way, including my father. I grew up severely codependent. Where the golden child can do no wrong, the scapegoat can do no right. Some families have more than one scapegoat child. The scapegoat is considered a bad seed. They are seen as an inferior person. The scapegoat carries the shame and anger of the family on their shoulders. The narcissistic parent is unrelentingly critical, cruel, and abusive to this child. The child is humiliated in front of other family members, often called crazy, and made to feel unaccepted. They are never appreciated, and they are blamed for everything that goes wrong in the family. The scapegoat is seen as having no needs of their own, but expected to do all the caring. And no matter how hard they try, they will never get the admiration from the parent that is given to the golden child. This child will eventually succumb to the role of being a defective person, an underachiever, troublemaker, or loser. But in the long run, the scapegoat often fares a little bit better than the golden child because they have more independence and have a chance of developing a better sense of self because of it. The lost child is the forgotten one, the neglected one. They don't receive praise from the parent, and they don't receive blame. It's as if they don't even exist. The parent is not the least bit interested in or aware of this child's needs. They have absolutely no use for them. Because the parent makes no attempt to treat them as if they are valuable, these children feel completely unlovable and unworthy for the rest of their lives. We're at that time. We're a little more than halfway through the show, so I'm going to take a brief break. I will continue this discussion immediately following the one-minute musical interlude featuring the band Love Shadows' song, There's a Better Way. Enjoy. Stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Like a dream,
there's a better way.
Ooh, if it
is,
there's a better way.
There's a better way. Like a dream,
to today's discussion, Narcissistic Personality Disorder, the family portrait. Abuse suffered from a parent with NPD is one of the most insidious, horrendous, and treacherous forms of child abuse. Because children depend on their parents for all their needs, they are defenseless when it comes to these narcissistic monsters. There is no way to escape. No one from the outside comes to rescue them because the abuse is invisible to the outside world. As a result, the subtle, craftily designed abuse these children are subjected to damages them for the rest, for the rest of their lives. Children in families with narcissistic parents understand that their family operates by a set of unspoken rules, rules that feel confusing and painful. The only stability these children know comes from adhering to the agenda of their narcissistic parent. The feelings of these children are never recognized. It is demonstrated over and over by the parents that their children's feelings do not matter. These children never know where they stand with an unpredictable, unaccountable, and inconsistent parent. They have to find a way to shield themselves from these surprise attacks. And so never having had healthy coping skills modeled for them, they build dysfunctional walls inside as a way of coping and for protection. With no boundaries between themselves and their parents and no acknowledgement of their feelings, children do not learn how to process their emotions in a healthy way. The assertion of feelings, rights, or thoughts can lead to much bigger problems for them: rejection, isolation, anger, and violence. So they learn to repress these things as a way to keep peace in the home. Children internalize and absorb whatever they are told by their parents. If they are told that they are at fault, they believe they are at fault. If they constantly receive messages that they are not good enough, that they are stupid, or that they are bad, these things become their truths and define them for the rest of their lives. Another source of confusion for these children is that the parent can sometimes be nice. But these children quickly learn that any kindness shown to them has strings attached. They are forever feeling beholden to their narcissistic parent. Anytime the parent is nice or generous, the child will owe something to them. The message is that love has conditions. They are never loved for who they are, just for how well they please. Sensitive children of NPD parents become people pleasers, a pattern that continues for the rest of their lives. They strive never to deny anyone anything while sabotaging their own self in the process. They feel as if they have to earn the love and acceptance of others to get it, while feeling overly responsible for the needs and feelings of others. That is the making of a codependent adult. That is what made me a codependent adult. And these were my behaviors as a codependent adult. Children who are less sensitive or put up high walls of protection may take a different route. They may vow never to trust or be vulnerable again, so they will never be hurt again. It becomes them against the world. That is the making of the false self of a pathological narcissist. As a result of having been raised in a home of smoke and mirrors, a crazy-making lifestyle, adult children of narcissists have a very difficult time trying to figure out what is wrong with them. They may be filled with repressed anger, suffer bouts of anxiety and depression, and they may feel empty, defective, and inadequate. Many therapists don't understand this order and will take the parent's side and treat the child as if they are crazy. Adult children of narcissists grow up being told and believing that they were not good enough. This translated in their heads as, "If I was good enough, my parents would have loved me." to come to terms with that thought, they keep trying to recreate a childhood, unwilling to accept that they never really had one, or that the one they had wasn't grounded in reality. Adult children of narcissistic parents feel as if something is always missing within them. They are always looking for the self. They feel flawed and unaccepted and never quite know where they stand with other people. They may place a great deal of importance on what other people think of them. And these weaknesses may make them vulnerable to victimization by other narcissists or others with similar agendas. Having had their parent dictate to them how they should act and feel, they grow up without autonomy, not being able to make decisions. They lack the sense of knowing what is right for them and are unsure of what they like or want out of life. Though they are adults, they never feel like they are, because no matter how old they are, their narcissistic parent never treats them that way. There is always the underlying message that you comply with my wishes and do it my way, or I will make your life a living hell. Adult children of narcissists struggle with feeling love for their continually difficult parents. The confusion never stops. Deep down inside, they may hate their parent or parents, yet feel guilty because they do. It is not seen as acceptable for children to hate their parents, especially when everyone else loves them and sees nothing wrong with them. It is important to understand that narcissistic parents suffer from an incurable mental disorder. They are mentally ill and are never going to change. Whatever love seemed real or hopeful is or was an illusion. The love never existed and it never will. This parent has no capacity for love. The relationship will never be healthy or satisfying. The offspring of these individuals mean no more to the parent than merely being a source of narcissistic supply, whether they are children or adults. But let me clarify something. Just because someone has a mental disorder does not mean they don't have to be accountable for their behavior. They do not deserve to be let off the hook. They may have a disorder, but narcissists know full well what they do, and what they do is extremely cruel. Contact with them always results in some form of abuse. There is no known cure for narcissistic personality disorder. These people rarely enter treatment because they see nothing wrong with themselves. And when they do not respond to it because all they can see is perfection. No one, not even the most skilled therapist, can convince them otherwise. It is impossible to convince a narcissist that they are a narcissist. They may be able to see narcissistic qualities in others, but never themselves. That is because it is painful for them to acknowledge, even to themselves, that they are not the perfect image they believe everyone sees them as, that they may potentially have a flaw. If you are the adult child of a narcissist, I am here to tell you that you are not alone. There are many of us. And we are all survivors, survivors of the most insidious form of child abuse. We are commonly referred to as ACONS, A-C-O-N-S. You can find and connect with other ACONS for support. The pain you feel is real. You were severely abused, and the future may seem hopeless. After having your emotional needs unmet for so long, healing from this traumatic childhood is difficult. It may seem impossible to do, but it isn't. With persistence and time, full recovery is absolutely possible. Many end up in therapy, something I believe is absolutely necessary for anyone who really wants to put their past behind them and live a happy life in the present. That is how I fully recovered. I could not have done it without the help of a therapist. Without therapy, you may continue to suffer and fall into the same painful, confusing traps over and over, buying into the manipulations of the narcissistic parent just to get a few crumbs of love and attention. If you have siblings, now is the time to come together in support and as allies against the narcissistic parent's behavior, against their enabling spouse, too, if that applies. Your parent tried their hardest to divide you from your siblings when you were younger, but now that you are adults, you are armed with the truth. It is time to put an end to the destructive pattern of abuse. This is an opportunity to create trust and bonding among you and your siblings. You will need each other to stand strong against such a formidable opponent. My sisters and I are closer and more tightly bonded than we ever were before. We have each other's backs. Our narcissistic mother and enabling father is no match for our unified front. It is time to reclaim your life as your own. You may see your narcissistic parent as this big, powerful monster, but they are actually small, weak, and no longer have power over you. The only power they have is the power you give them. You are an adult now, and you don't answer to anyone but yourself. It is time to embrace self-love. It is time to nurture your inner child and take good care of yourself. You are worthy, you are lovable, and you matter. It is time to start working through your feelings. Allow yourself to start grieving the parent you never had. Understand that grieving is a painful process. Allow yourself to feel the pain and take all the time you need to get through all the stages of it. It is time to stop hoping that your narcissistic parent will change. He or she will not. I'm sorry, but we're out of time for today. But be sure to tune in and listen to episode 4, where I will be talking about strategies for dealing with the narcissistic parent, and then I will move on to a discussion about narcissistic mothers. If you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, feel free to email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. RANDIGFINE.com. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my shows, so you can leave comments for me as there as well. Please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. My page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. If you enjoy listening to my shows, and I hope you do, please become a show follower. More followers will get this show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
But we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. change.